There was a young priest who wanted to meet Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta at all costs, even flying to India, and show up at the Missionaries of Charity Mother House, insisting an audience with her. And after much persistence, she agreed to meet with him. And after a short cordial exchange, she asked him how much time he spent to pray each day. And he told her he celebrated Mass, prayed the Liturgy of the Hour, and the Rosary, to which she answered, "That is not enough, my son. That is not enough. Because love cannot be reduced to the indispensable minimum. Love demands the maximum." That priest was Angelo Comastri, who later became the Cardinal Archpriest of St. Peter's Basilica. And she continued to tell him, "Do you think I could practice charity if I did not ask Jesus every day to fill my heart with his love? Do you think that I could go through the street looking for the poor if Jesus did not communicate the fire of his charity to my heart?" She ended the conversation by reminding the young priest, "Without God, my son, we are too poor to be able to help the poor." And I think what Saint Mother Teresa said is a really important reminder for us. Oftentimes in our faith journey and in our faith life, we only turn to the indispensable minimum. We only do what is minimum in showing up to church, in praying, in matters of the faith. But we haven't really responded to God and asking him to be the center of our lives. And if he isn't the center of our lives, what can we give to one another, my brothers and sisters? Because without God, like Mother Teresa said, we are too poor to be able to help the poor. Second, in order to know God, we need to be grounded in prayer. In such a noisy and self-centered world, prayer seems to be insignificant because we have become so used to being busying our life with everything, chasing our dream, catching up on our schedule, or be someone that that we think people love, that we have lost focus on the value and the necessity of silence and prayer. Our postmodern world praises and exalts and give focus to those who are very vocal, think highly of themselves, attention-seeking, and noisy. Yet, these types of people spend their whole lives living with their lips, spilling out bloods of words that can't carry off the increasing meager fruits of only their insecurity and fragile ego. They only talk, but they are very empty on the inside. And we have allowed ourselves too to buy into this lifestyle, where we only want to build up a facade for other people to see, where we're so busy that we no longer have the time or the inclination to collect ourselves, to think and to live profoundly grounded in God. We have ended up enabling one another through pressures, agitation, and popular opinions that life without quote-unquote more and new, things that are more and news are not worth living at all. Yet we have all ended up being so superficial and vain, interfering and muffling the invitation of God at every turn. We have allowed ourselves to become dangerous to our very own self because we have built our lives on lies, pressures, vanities, and false approvals without knowing who we are deep from within. Hence, our postmodern world is capable of all sorts of noise, wars, many false statements, and fake news. And they're doing a good job of making things act, look, feel, taste, and sound so good. Yet all these things are chaotic because we have excluded God from our very own lives, from our struggles and our battle, and from our ego-centered ambition to transform this world only for our personal or selfish benefits alone. The question would be, where is God in all of this? Have we included God in our daily discernment, our faith journey, or we're only talking about God on our lips, but God had no place in our society and in our hearts. My brothers and sisters, we have become so dependent on the noise and empty approval of others that we are scared, resentful, and many times avoid prayers and silent moments to be with God. As a matter of fact, this noisy life is choking the divine life out of all of us because we have chosen to accustom ourselves with permanent background noise. This life, though, is sickening us. It sickens us, but we have become dependent on it because it helps us be distracted from what hurts the most. Think about it. If we are being taken away from our usual noise, we would become very anxious, depressed, feverish, and lost. This meaningless and empty noise give us a sense of false security, like a drug that we have become dependent on to suppress, to ignore, and deter us from our very own selves. However, this noisiness is just a false appearance, a denial of our very need to face, to understand, and to know ourselves. And we have seen people, perhaps in our own selves too, who become so depressed and suicidal when they have to face their brokenness because they cannot face their own interior emptiness that has been filled up with meaningless noises, egocentric deceptions, and dangerous lies that tells us that we have to be something that we're not. The awakening is brutal because we're not used to it, since we have been busying ourselves trying to be someone else but don't know who we are. This is the time for it. The ordinary time is the time for us to grow extraordinarily, grounded on faith in the very ordinary exchange and circumstances of life. St. John the Baptist spent much time in silence in the desert. He was connected with God, lived as he was called to be. He zealously preached repentance and conversion of heart because he knew his mission was given by God to prepare the way of Christ. Even though he didn't know at first who Jesus was, perhaps from a long time of separation as they lived their individual lives, he was attentive and saw the Spirit descended upon the chosen one. And that's why he said, "Now I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God." In many ways, my brothers and sisters, each and every one of us are called to be like St. John the Baptist, to prepare the way of the Lord, but most important of all, to be attentive to his presence when he comes to us. But in a different way, we have a greater mission than the Baptists too, because we are called to be disciples of Christ. He had done the mission given to him to prepare the way, but we still have the mission to be apostles, the one who are sent out in the name of the Lord to preach the good news to the whole world. And we have heard from the first reading that we are reminded that the Lord is our strength. As we have heard in the book of the prophet Isaiah, that I will make you a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Perhaps the only response that we can give when we listen to the invitation of God is, "Here I am, Lord. I come to do your will," as in the responsorial psalm. "Here I am, Lord. I come to do your will." My brothers and sisters, we must be humble to stand silently and honestly before God to tell him that we need him. Not having him do things for us and our ways, but to truly surrender to him. We have to stop asking for what we want and ask him to perfect in us, to love us more and more, and to allow him to mold and to form us as clay in his hands, and to bring to fulfillment what he has begun in us. Without our docile surrendering to him, we will remain as hardened clay that cannot be formed. We have to let go, little by little, of our miserable human sentiments and self-pities, as to become more capable of having the same sentiments as of Jesus. It's necessary to die to ourselves in order to become like the Son of God, with simple, childlike, and trusting faith, hope, and love. I would like to end this homily by reminding you in the words of the second reading today from 1 Corinthians, where St. Paul said, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." May we seek the grace that is in God. And once we receive that grace, may we experience that peace in our daily life, in our prayer, in how we worship, at the Mass, and how we come to God honestly, transparently, with humility, so that we can share the same grace we have received and the peace from God to everyone whom we encounter. Even though we are living in the usual ordinary time of the church liturgical calendar, there's nothing ordinary about it. As we live this ordinary time, let us not forget our essential, foundational, and crucial mission to preach the good news, to bring to awareness the extraordinary grace of God at work in our lives, the world at large, and those who are around us, especially those who are seeking Him. For God is present in each and every moment of our very ordinary daily interactions. He is there. If we open our eyes, seek Him, return to Him, and respond to Him by saying, "Lord, here I am. I come to do your will." God bless you.